You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We just got done talking with Mark Vandermeer about some of the reasons to be excited about the Texans offensively. Here is why offensive coordinator and now play caller Tim Kelly is excited about the offense.
First of all, coming in every day, I think we have great guys. So being able to work with them now, being able to see them in person, you know, getting like to learn their body language and the different interactions, that's exciting, right? And that's just because they're great people and they're great football players. And again, they come here with a great attitude. Schematically, obviously, being able to try and take advantage of multiple people that can win one-on-one matchups, not just in the passing game, but in the running game. So being able to take advantage of the unique skill sets that these guys are going to present.
Mark, Tim Kelly said more words in that answer than he typically did in his full press conferences last year. Bebopping and scotting the other day.
Look, I've seen him in the hallways for a long time since he was one of those guys just kind of grinding it out as an offensive assistant. And there's a personality there, for sure. But when those guys are doing that, they're just putting their head down and working. You know, we've had a lot of guys like that in the building. And, you know, Matt LaFleur is one of those guys once upon a time at NRG Stadium, who's now the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And that was Tim, you know. And now Tim's calling plays. I think it's such an interesting year for Bill O'Brien as a manager because – and it's not just about game manager. It's about manager. Because you have new direct reports here in Tracy Smith and Anthony Weaver. Let's just use management talk, right? So those relationships, there were relationships before, but, you know, he was talking with Romeo about the defense and Brad Seeley about special teams. Not that there wasn't any communication with those other guys, but now those two guys are running very important phases of the game, and there's a direct relationship of manager and employee doing their job, overseeing what they're doing. And then you have Tim Kelly calling plays, which is a completely different deal from Tim Kelly being OC and not calling plays. So I think for Bill, it's a really interesting year. It'll be fun to watch how he handles it all and what the results are.
You know what? I'm glad you brought it up in that, using that perspective, Mark, because if you think about the relationship Bill O'Brien had with Romeo Crennel, it felt a lot like maybe it was with Kubiak and Wade Phillips, where you've got an offensive-minded coach who's got an older defensive coordinator that you can just let him be, you know, and let him handle the defense. It might end up being good for Bill O'Brien in terms of learning to delegate and learning to be a head coach / GM, in that maybe he'll be a little bit more active with the defensive side of the ball. You know, maybe he'll be more of a sounding board for Anthony Weaver, and because of that, he'll have to also just loosen the reins on Tim Kelly, which he has with the play calling. Because that's one of the best things a coach can do, or an assistant head coach like Romeo Crennel has been, is just kind of, you know, politely shoot holes in a game plan and say, all right, well, what are you going to do? You know, okay, Anthony, here's the game plan. This is what I would do if I were the offensive coordinator. I would attack you this way. And I think that might end up really benefiting the whole structure.
You know, I think, you know, you bring up this aspect of it, and Vrabel in 2017 was the defensive coordinator, but you didn't get to see what he really could do because they had a historic amount of injuries, right? So that really affected whatever your performance was going to be. And they did play some close games and lose some close games after Watson got hurt, but they also had some major defensive issues when Watson was still healthy, as we all saw. So, you know, I think that this is more like that, but it may be different. And I think that Weaver, all the time he's put in, you know, I was talking with him, and Johnny and I have a conversation with him coming up, and, you know, he's thinking about a decade ago, he started his coaching career as a grad assistant at the University of Florida, and it's taken him to this point, and I'm not sure he knew that it would get to be like this for him. So this is going to be a great test, obviously. Luckily, he's got talent, but you know they need to make a big jump forward after last year's performance on that side of the football. We all know that.
Yeah, here's
well, you know, one thing I like about the fact that Anthony was in college, because he talked about it during the press conference a little the other day. It's that in defending college offenses, there is a huge dose of RPOs and zone reads, and the quarterback run game is so much a larger part of it. That I think in a lot of ways, college coaches or guys that have experience with that, they just have more reps handling it. You know, they just have more time. They don't have to think it through the way some of the dinosaur defensive coordinators in the league see some of this stuff. And it's they're trying to figure out a whole new type of Rubik's Cube. So I think the Texans might benefit from that this year, too. There are a whole lot of benefits to having a guy with a college background.
Here's Anthony Weaver on his path to a defensive coordinator.
You know, to say this was my plan from the beginning would be a lie. My initial plan was honestly just to coach the defensive line in the NFL. But like anything, as you reach goals, you set new ones. So once I accomplished that, I made up my mind that I wanted to be a defensive coordinator. And I knew the steps that – I knew it wasn't going to be an easy road. I knew there was a lot to learn, and I'm going to continue to learn day in and day out. But going back to the college level was important to me because I didn't want coaches to perceive that I had a sense of entitlement. Like I wanted anything given to me. I wanted to make sure that I walked in the same shoes as anybody in this profession from the bottom up. So that would never be, they could never say that I didn't earn it.
Mark, you've spent plenty of time around Anthony Weaver, both as a player and as a coach, and he's a really impressive guy. And what impresses me about that the most is if anybody could have gone and just networked his way into an NFL position coach's job immediately after playing, it would have been Anthony Weaver. When you consider the coaches that he played for, he's a Rex Ryan disciple. Mike Pettine was there, and he's, you know, and Weaver's got that cerebral personality that you look at him and you go, the guy's going to be a great coach someday. I thought that was that he had the self-awareness to want to kind of do it from the ground up is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, you look at the path, the trajectory of his career, and he's definitely paid dues. And I think he felt that was important. And look, guys, anybody who's played in this league and then goes into coaching, they know what they're getting into. They see what those coaches do. And Anthony made some pretty solid money as an NFL player, so it wasn't for the money, clearly. He just saw that he wanted to do it. He had a passion for it. The hours the coaches put in, I mean, you talk to a lot of players that say, no way, never, maybe high school, but never would I coach in the NFL because I'd like to be home at some point in my life. And that's not really happening other than this year. Look, I think that, you know, Anthony walks into the room, he just oozes charisma, he's smart, he has this presence about him. Yeah, he looks like he's going to be a head coach someday, but step one is doing a great job calling plays for this defense in a year where, you know, who knows what to expect. Now, if we go early on in preseason sometimes, training camp, we talk about defense being in midseason form. They look like they're in midseason form, and it's the old, you're trying to break something down instead of build something up on the offensive side of the ball. So let's hope the defense gets off to that kind of start. They could really use it considering their first few opponents.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Mark Vandermeer joining us for his weekly visit. Mark, the degree of difficulty of what the Texans are asking Deshaun Watson to do this season. Seth and I got into a conversation about this earlier this week, and I don't know that there's a quarterback who's on the level Deshaun is, you know, let's call it like the top 8 to 10 quarterbacks in the league, that's being asked, that's being given a more difficult assignment overall than Deshaun. You know, what's the most difficult thing for Patrick Mahomes right now is they have a target on their back and they're having to defend a title, but all his weapons are back. He's got, you know, there's continuity there. Right. You know, Lamar Jackson's trying to win a playoff game, but again, continuity, they've got everybody coming back. He's got a really good defense on the other side. Deshaun has a defense that's definitely a work in progress. All these new weapons, maybe contracts still hanging out there as well. You know, just it feels like for Deshaun, I'll throw, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and even Brady going to a new team. He's going to a new team where he's got a ton of weapons there, you know, and he's Tom Brady. What are your thoughts on just Deshaun, the assignment that Deshaun has, but his overall capacity to handle that assignment?
Well, the expectation now, it's no longer good enough to just win the division. We all know that, right? But just winning the division is an incredibly difficult thing to do in this sport. And this year it's going to be really tough because this competition, you saw what the Titans did last year. I have no doubt the Colts should be better. Jacksonville's Jacksonville. But look at the rest of the schedule. So, to your point, yeah, I do think, though, when I look at Lamar Jackson, I think he's under a lot of pressure, too. He's coming off an MVP year. The way he plays the sport, a lot of people question whether you can sustain that. So let's see if he can sustain that. You know, he wants to get back there. They had the number one seed, and they blew it. So I think he – if you just talk about pressure on quarterbacks, on these young quarterbacks, I think Jackson has just as much, if not more. And I think Watson's got a great situation. The line is good. You have these five guys back. I like this. There are a lot of weapons. Yeah, there's no Hop, but – everywhere he looks, there's some place to throw the football and a pretty reliable pass catcher on the other end, no matter how you slice it. So I got to like that for him. I think that he's in a really good situation here, but the schedule's brutal. Yeah. Now, what can you do about that?
Yeah,
I wonder, just the Colts, I'm trying to figure out, even if Phillip Rivers is rejuvenated and enlivened, what exactly is he going to do with that tight end and receiving core? They've got a whole bunch of, oh, yeah, Jack Doyle was really good in 2017. Mm-hmm. T.Y. Hilton used to scare the crap out of us. Zach Pascal sounds like the classic guy from the Colts that shows up and does stuff. Doesn't he just sound
– Austin Colley.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. There's something about they've had really cool-sounding named wide receivers and tight ends for a long time. But I just don't know what – even behind a good offensive line, exactly what he's going to do with that receiving core.
Well, here's the deal. Like, T.Y.'s got a hamstring right now, and he's had groin hamstring issues before. He's 30 years old. Let's see how this plays out for him. You know, they absolutely need him to go, and if he does, they're in a good situation because they got the rookie from USC. They got Jonathan Taylor added to a running game mix that's pretty good. The top three teams in the AFC South were all top 10 running teams last year, right? And I expect that to continue. Now, Jacoby Brissett had a bad season. He was banged up, so that probably was a part of it. But the facts are the facts. He's never been more than a 61% passer. Rivers, 66% last year. Rivers, you know, he's gonna throw the ball downfield. But with that come the turnovers. And Brissett, you know, was able to keep it together in the interception department. Rivers threw, what, 20 picks last year? So if Rivers can just, you know, capitalize on the high completion percentage and stay away from the picks, and they run the ball well, they've got a good chance to be a lot better. The Colts played 11 one-score games last year, and they were 5-6 in those games. And if Vinatieri hadn't had a bad year and Brissett was a little bit better, those games might have swung three different times, and now you're looking at a completely different season. I think the Colts, they could be sneaky good here, guys. I mean, they could be the surprise team in the AFC South this year.
You know, and the thing about T.Y. Hilton is I've been waiting for his demise for so long that you have to remind yourself that last year it was largely injury-related. In 2018, I forget what his total stats were, but I know in, like, yards per route run, in terms of, like, how efficient he was as a receiver, he was really, really high. He was one of the most productively efficient receivers in 2018. So there's definitely a chance for a resurgence there.
According to that Aaron Reese article that you and I were talking about earlier, Seth, the Texans are plus 350 to win the division. I don't know that they're going to. I'm going to probably pick them to win the division, but that's really good value. That's 3.5 to 1 for the team that's won it. What, five of the last 6 years? Is that what it is? Or four of the last 6 years?
How are the other teams?
The Colts are the favorite, plus 110, which for people who don't speak that language, you have to risk 100 to win 110. So the Colts are basically a coin flip.
They're the favorite?
They're the favorite, and the Titans are plus 175.
I don't understand putting the Colts above the Titans. I just don't get that, and I feel like that's a vote. It's like what they do in the NBA when the Nets go out and sign a bunch of names people know, or the Lakers sign Steve Nash. And they're like, oh, I know these names. They've got to be good. So they know Phillip Rivers' name, so they're betting on Phillip Rivers more than anything else. You could say, okay, well, the Colts have a promising defense. Yeah, so do the Titans, and they've got the quarterback who was the best quarterback in the league, really, in the second half of last season. I think Tannehill's going to fall back down to earth, but if I had to choose between Tannehill this year and Phillip Rivers this year, I would take Tannehill.
You know, it's such an interesting debate because the Texans have the best quarterback, and I think, you know, when I look at all three teams, there are deficiencies, there are positives and negatives, but, you know, let's just put them all even. Deshaun Watson's going to make the difference, and they should win the division. That's how I look at this division.
Same.
I think the Titans can go 9-7 for the 20th consecutive year, or however long they've gone 9-7. And I think the Colts, I have a hard time. It all depends on Rivers, right? And here's another one. It all depends on. With the Texans, it all depends on Watson. With the Colts, it all depends on Rivers. With the Titans, it all depends on Derrick Henry. Right. You know, you're going to go to the running back for the Titans, it all depends on, because if he's running the ball well, that helps the defense, that helps Tannehill, all boats rise with that tide. I don't think any other team in the division can really say that about one running back.
Mark, you're going to talk more football leading up to the season with us and predictions and things like that, but just right now, as long as we're talking about the AFC, expanded playoff this year means that we get teams 5, 6, and 7 into the playoffs. Who are some of the intriguing teams there for you, the potential wild card teams?
Well, you have to look at Pittsburgh out of the north, of course. You know, and I think that the big question is, if you just look at last year's field, the Patriots were obviously in it, winning the division. I mean, do you have the Patriots being one of the seven this year?
Yes,
I mean, you do. Okay, but do you have the Bills winning that division in all likelihood?
No.
Is that no? You don't think the Bills win the? Do you have the Bills in the seven?
Probably so.
So, all right, so you're set. All right, you have the Bills in the seven. Do you have the Texans and the Titans in the seven?
I have the Texans in the seven, and I have the Titans in the seven, yes.
Okay, so is the extra team Pittsburgh, or is it going to come out of
the West? It is Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
no, I think Pittsburgh's better than both the Bills and the Titans. I think Pittsburgh could be the third best team in the AFC if Roethlisberger is right.
So that's the – it all depends on – Roethlisberger.
For me, yeah.
Sean's very impressed by Roethlisberger's physique.
I am.
He found sveltness.
Yeah.
Wait, James did you see Winston some Instagram beach photos or something?
No, I saw some of those pictures like that they take in front of the green screen, you know, like the Texans were doing last week, and he looks good. Yeah, no, I mean, Seth, I'm not attracted to him or anything like that. I'm just impressed with the work that he seems to have put in.
It's interesting that you just put that out there, like you were maybe perhaps self-conscious about something.
Seems thou doth protest.
I don't recall accusing you of being attracted to him.
Cleveland is also semi-interesting.
I believe it when I see it.
I know. That's the thing. Like, you cannot – I mean, at some point, somebody's going to be right about Cleveland. They're going to have them making the playoffs, and they'll be correct. Maybe this is the year they sneak up on everybody. But I think for a young head coach, it's a tall order in that city. And that quarterback, if things don't go well, ouch. Anybody out of the West? Or is it Kansas City and everybody else just watching?
For me, it's Kansas City and everybody else just watching. The Raiders are a little bit intriguing to me, and I'm anxious to see Drew Lock in year two, but I don't know that I see any of them as wild cards.
Can I say something real quick about Cleveland? Because I feel like I think people need to understand that sometimes when you talk about a bad owner in sports, you know, because at various times, 5 years ago, Jim Crane's an awful owner, and then the Les Alexander won't spend, all this stuff. You need to go – I'll tweet this out when I find it. The article, the expose they wrote about the Browns last year and Jimmy Haslam and his wife and just how badly they've botched any kind of relationships or management structure with coaches, GMs, Hugh Jackson, all this stuff. Cleveland's doomed as long as Jim Haslam is their owner, kind of like the Redskins. There's certain things the owner does that is going to prevent there from ever being continuity. So I would sell on anything anybody tells you about the Browns as long as Jimmy Haslam's the owner.
There you go. So Mark, you hit it right off the top, Mark. It is almost here. Training camp is almost here. What's going on Texans All Access?
All right, tonight, Anthony Weaver on the show, and we've got plenty to discuss. I mean, there's news every day. You guys know this. I mean, it's here. They're actually in camp. It doesn't feel like it. I said it's like Rod Stewart, Maggie May. It's late September, and I really should be back at school. It's early August, and I should be at camp, but they kind of are, and we're covering it the best we can.
Yeah, absolutely, and you are brought to us every week. By Mattress Firm.
Yeah. Mattress Firm. And that's the season finale. Guys, I really appreciate the visits all off season long. I'm going to miss them, but, you know, I'll see you around.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's right. We're going to be going to 2-hour shows pretty soon when training camp and the practices get started. Seth and I, 6 to 8. Mark and Johnny on Texans Radio, 8 to 10.
This year I'm going to tweet at John and Mark while they're on their 2-hour show.
Do it.
Like a listener?
Mondays.
Yeah, but it's going to be from a ghost account. I mean, it's going to be from an egg account.
Seth Payne Burner.
That's right. I'm going to harass you.
Mark Vandermeer, we appreciate it as always. These were very, very fun visits. All right. Seth and I head into the 9 o'clock hour, and we will shift over to some Astros talk. The Astros last night losing in Arizona, and now all of a sudden a monster series coming up this weekend. We'll break it down next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.